Good morning. Now that you are all awake, and you now know that you are in church, and there's that lady up front with the microphone, how about speaking to your neighbors that are sitting next to you? Pass the peace, please. Now, would you please prepare ourselves for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the top inside of your bulletin. Once again, Main Street Church is going to be a very active church this next week. And I'm not going to take up all the time, but I really would like for you to turn to the back of your bulletin so that I can call a couple of things to your attention. I particularly want to emphasize the Lenten worship service that will continue this week. This time we will be at Emmanuel Lutheran, and you already know the drill. You can have lunch before the worship service or after the worship service or not eat lunch at all. It is a worship service, and it takes place at 12:35 at Emmanuel Lutheran. However, if you do wish to eat lunch, you need to make some reservations and let them know by putting that in the pews. I also want to call to your attention the Red Cross preparation. I think that we have all been made aware of how suddenly disaster can strike. And the Red Cross is one of those agencies that reaches out to those experiencing disaster. And many of us have said over and over how ripe history has South Carolina for another hurricane. So it would be nice if we had made some preparations and some plans. The Red Cross will be here doing a workshop on disaster readiness and also talking about how the Red Cross reaches out. They'd like for you to let us know if you're going to come, because they would like to bring a backpack to get you started on your own preparations at home. And I also want to call to your attention the calendar. There's something going on just about every single night that is a committee meeting or a group of responsible folks that help run this church, and things that you can be a part of. One is the request that went out this week in the newsletter for the making of the robes and attire that we will be using for our Maundy Thursday service. They're going to be sewing days, 2 days, 9 to 5, and then one in the noon hour. Please check your calendar and see if you can come and provide a sewing machine or scissors or come and help sew. That's the sewing time, if you will note. And there's also a UMW Executive Committee meeting that will be taking place this week, as well as a Staff Parish Relations Committee and a Stewardship Committee. Look on the calendar. I'm not going to tell you when and where. You need to go find where they are on the calendar, and they're on the back of your bulletin. Now, let us continue with our worship service as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence. Your steadfast love is better than life, and our lips will praise you. In the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy.
Let us join together in praying a prayer of confession as printed in your bulletin. Just as our ancestors in the faith quarreled and complained and tested God, we are tempted to do the same. We have hardened our hearts and turned away from the source of life. Yet God comes to us with reconciling grace. Because we have access to God's grace, let us seek the peace of God through prayer and repentance. Let us pray together the prayer of confession. What would you do with us, God? We are never satisfied with our lot. We rebel and complain when things don't go our way. Our hearts chase after things that become gods to us and consume our time, energy, and attention. We spend little time in communion with you and then begin to doubt your presence. You seem far away and unavailable. We create barriers among ourselves that separate us from one another and from you. Send your living water to cleanse us, O God. Teach us to worship in spirit and truth. Let's have a few moments of silent meditation as we make our own confessions to God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have been justified by his blood, and we are saved by his life. This is proof of God's love for us. Thanks be to God, for God will abundantly pardon. Let us join together in professing The affirmation, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of needs. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today comes to us from the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, the first through the seventh verses. If you would like to follow along, you will find this on page 79 in the Pew Bible. Today's readings deepen our understanding of the image of Jesus as thirst-quenching and life-giving. Jesus tells us about this as he gives this to the people. In Exodus, then, in the Old Testament, the people are thirsty for water. And despite their quarreling and complaining, God gives them the water. In the gospel reading, which will be read later, we will hear the story of the Samaritan woman to whom God offered living water. Hear now the word of God. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They remained at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go ahead of the people, take in your hand the staff, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and with the staff strike the Nile. Now go. I will be standing there in front of you at the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come forth so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massa and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord with us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
And we do join our hearts in prayer, praying for the needs that you see that are printed here, and also for special concerns. Been notified that Patty Nichols' grandmother, Eva Lee, passed away, and we're praying for them as they are dealing with their grief, and also for Ms. Gallagly. I understand she has gone home, and we pray for her during this readjustment time. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Lord, we're so thankful that we can come to you at any time, day or night, or in the sunshine or the rain, that there's nothing that gets in the way of our words to you. You know the cries of our heart. You know, dear God, the desires that we have. And so as we journey during this Lenten season and we do confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, as we come to you during this Lenten season and we embrace your forgiveness, as we acknowledge the spiritual journey that we are on together as a family of God, we come to you, dear God, praying for these whose names are listed before us or who have been mentioned. And we pray that indeed you will lead us into the path of those who are thirsty, that we might share with them a drink of this living water that you told about. That thirsty hearts will be quenched. That the church will be a place where people freely drink from the fountain of God in love and compassion and care and nurture. Holy God, we pray for those who are suffering within our congregation this morning, those listening to us by radio, those within our family that are recovering. Dear Lord, we pray, touch, comfort, reassure, heal, strengthen, whatever, all for your glory. Be with those who serve our country and those who are serving you in faraway places, and those at home who protect our highways and byways, and those who have leadership over us, our president, and those in our township, our leaders here. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come? Thank you. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you again for your faithful people who give to your kingdom. In the true heart of worship, as we return to you now a portion of what you have given to us. For Lord, we humbly acknowledge that it's all yours. Thank you, dear God, for provisions. Thank you, dear God, for our jobs, for employment. And for those who are unemployed, dear God, we pray for them in this tough economic time. May these gifts that we have received this day go forward to share the good news of the gospel of Christ at home and around the world. Bless giver and gift, and those who had not and those who chose not to give this day. To you we give glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated, and we will now hear a stewardship message from Rudy Powell.
Good morning. Before I begin, I want to express my sincere appreciation for all of the phone calls and notes and cards and kind words since my father's death. But you know, that's what church family is really all about. We care for each other, and we care about each other. So thank you very much for that. As you were coming in this morning, Dr. Polk commented that it's great to see so many young faces coming in, and it is indeed great to see so many young faces. You are the future of this church, and it's great to see you here this morning, but unfortunately now you've got to look at a not-so-young face. I know some of you thought that I had disappeared from this church, but I'm still here. I've been going to the 8:45 Out Loud service, listening to some of our very talented younger people and getting the shorter version of Terry's sermon. I'm just saying. You know, Terry, sometimes less is more, is better.
Amen.
Of course, when I finish this, he's probably going to say the same thing to me. So, at this time, I want to ask the ushers to come forward, and they're going to be handing out a sheet of white paper and the green reservation card. So if you would please come forward and hand those out. Everyone, please take one of the white sheets, not just one per family, but everyone, please take one of those white sheets. As you all know by now, next Sunday is Consecration Sunday here at Main Street United Methodist Church. We will have a combined service at 10:30 here in the sanctuary next Sunday. There will be no early service. There will be no breakfast. There will be no Sunday school. We'll have a combined service here at 10:30. A message will be given by Reverend Reggie Thaxton, and you will certainly want to be here for that. And following that, everyone will be asked to complete a pledge card indicating what they will be giving during the coming year to God's work here in this congregation. Now, following that service, we will have a celebration luncheon to celebrate a spiritual revival here in this congregation of Main Street United Methodist Church. This will be a catered meal at no cost to you, but we do need to know how many people to expect next Sunday. So if you would please complete one of those green reservation cards. If you've already done so in a previous Sunday, you do not have to complete another one today. But please complete one of those cards. Even if you cannot be here next Sunday, we need you to complete a card to tell us that you're not going to be able to be here next Sunday. And if you have not completed a card, you will get a phone call tonight from someone, because we want to make sure that everyone is aware that we are having that luncheon next Sunday and that everyone has an opportunity to let us know whether or not they will be able to attend. So to save us a little bit of work tonight, please fill out those cards, and that'll just be fewer phone calls that we will have to make tonight. You know, in the past, we have gone about our stewardship campaign by setting a church budget and then coming to you and saying, please give to fulfill the needs of that church budget. But you know, that's not really what stewardship is all about. We should not be giving to the church to fulfill what the church's needs are from a budget standpoint. We should be giving what God is asking us to give, what He is asking each of us individually to give. You know, I routinely walk up to a friend and I'll say, "How you doing?" I think that's a southern thing, you know. In all of my travels up in the northern cities, I don't think anybody's ever asked me, "How you doing?" I don't think they really care how I'm doing. But here in the South, well, you know what I mean, here in the South, "How you doing?" And one of the common responses I get is, "Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve." Well, friends, I am here this morning to tell you that I am better than I deserve, and that God has given me much more than I deserve. He has blessed me in so many ways, and He continues to bless me no matter what I do. As we move toward Consecration Sunday, 1 week from today, each of us will be thoughtfully considering our answer to the spiritual question: what percentage of my income is God calling me to give? Now, I want you to take the sheet that was handed out to you, the step chart, and turn to the front part of it with the steps on it. And get a pencil. There should be pencils in the pew rack there, so everyone get a pencil, because I'm going to give you some numbers that I want you to write down on that chart. The first number I want you to write down in the upper left-hand corner, just write down the number 454. That is the number of family units that there are here at Main Street United Methodist Church. Now, that family unit may be one person, it may be a family of six or eight, but there are 454 family units here at Main Street. Now, in the first step, the lower left-hand corner of the chart, I want you to write in the number 77. That is the number of family units that we have no record of having given anything to God's work here at Main Street during the past year. It's 77 units. Now move up one step, the 1 cent to $4.99, and write in the number 52. 52 units gave between a penny and $5 on a weekly basis during the past year. $5 is basically two cups of coffee. Not a lot. Move up one more step, the $5 to $10, 56. Write 56 there. Now for $10 you can buy a movie ticket. Move up one more step, $10 to $20. Write in 86. Now, between $10 and $20, you can buy a sleeve of golf balls. And I've seen some of you play golf, so I know that a sleeve of golf balls is not going to last that long for you. Move up to the next step, $20 to $30, and write in 54. That would be a meal for a family of four at a fast food restaurant, at a McDonald's. Let's move on up the chart rather quickly. $30 to $40, write in 32. $40 to $50, write in 15. $50 to $75, write in 29. $75 to $100, 23. $100 to $150, 13. $150 to $200 is 9. And above $200 is 8. Now, that was total giving to the church last year, including operating budget, trustees' discretionary fund, Cambridge Building Preservation Fund, as well as the capital campaign. That is total giving to the church programs last year. Now flip over that sheet and look on the back of that sheet, and let your eyes go down the left-hand column to your weekly income. And when you find that, follow across to the right to the amount that you give on a weekly basis to this church, and then move up that column, and that will show you the percentage of your income that you are giving to God's work here at Main Street United Methodist Church. During the next week, I'm sure that each of us will be pondering the question, what percentage of my income is God calling me to give? We know that the Bible tells us that we should be tithing. But maybe your financial situation will not allow you to tithe right now. You may be saying to yourself, I would love to be tithing, but in my financial situation, I'm just not able to do that right now. Well, if that is the case, why don't we put together a plan of how we can work toward that goal of tithing? Look at the front of that sheet, and if you're at the $20 step, consider moving up one step to the next step, to $30 a week. Or if you're giving 5% of your income now, consider bumping up this next year to either 6% or 7%, and then continue that graduation on a yearly basis until you reach the point that you are able to tithe to the church. Whatever you decide that you should do should be based on what you think God is asking you to do. If the ushers have not done so, I'm going to ask them to come forward at this time and take up those green cards. And again, please turn those in, pass those toward the center so we will not be making a call to you tonight. And I'm going to close with a couple of verses of Scripture. 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to make this freewill offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. And then Exodus 25:2. Tell the Israelites to take from me an offering. From all whose hearts prompt them to give, you shall receive the offering from me. And finally, a quote from the Reverend Billy Graham. Ask God to guide you in your giving. Remember, everything you have comes from Him, including your money. Make sure of your commitment to Christ, and then trust God to meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus.
We now invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Have you ever been really thirsty? I don't mean just a little bit thirsty. I mean like your mouth is really, really dry. Have you? What were you doing before you got really, really thirsty?
Running.
You were running? Okay, this morning we're going to talk about a story from the Bible in the book of John where we see Jesus. And he had been walking all morning, and it was the middle of the day, but he had been walking all morning when it was really, really hot. And Jesus lived in the desert, so it was really hot and really dry. And he was hot and tired. And he got to a town, and outside of that town, there was a well. And he sat down beside that well. And the well was a place where the people came to get water. In Jesus' time, they didn't go to the sink in their house and cut on the faucet and the water came out. They had to go to the well outside of town and pull their water up from down in the ground and take it back to their house. But when Jesus sat down beside this well, he didn't have anything to lower into the well to get the water. So he just sat down. He had no way to get something to drink. Okay? A Samaritan woman came to the well, and Jesus struck up a conversation with her. She offered to get him some water, and he talked to her and told her that if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. What Jesus was telling this woman is that while he was sitting there and he was physically thirsty, he knew that she was spiritually thirsty, and he knew that she needed living water. And what he meant by that was that living water is eternal life. Jesus offers all of us that gift of eternal life, that gift of living water, if we believe in him. When we accept that we are sinners and that we can't save ourselves, and that Jesus was a perfect man, perfectly God and perfectly man, and he came to earth, he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross, and he rose again on that third day, okay, to save us from our sins, okay? And at the well, Jesus told the woman again, "Everyone who drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Okay? The woman at the well got the water in a pitcher, probably something a little larger than this, because if this had been all the water she had taken back, she might have gotten thirsty really fast. But this is our example, something to look at. This is a pitcher to remind us that this is how the woman got the water from the well back to her house. Okay? But the way we get the gift of eternal life, that gift of living water, is through Jesus. Okay? So our pitcher is to remind us that the eternal life, our living water, comes from Jesus. That is the way we get that eternal life. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving your life to save us from our sins. Help us to live our lives to glorify you. Amen. Thank you.
I'm gonna go to sleep.
As this is a long reading this morning, I'm going to let you be seated. The gospel lesson this morning is found in John, the 4th chapter. Begin reading with the 5th verse. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans, and Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, which his sons and flocks drank from?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband, for you've had 5 husbands, and the one you have now, not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." The word of God for the people of God. And as you've noticed, I've cut the reading just a little bit, so you can take it home and finish reading it as time is slipping on. I received a startling telephone call this week. It was from one of my minister friends who is now pastoring one of the churches that I pastored at one time. She told me when she called who she was, and she said, and I won't mention the guy's name, but I'll just refer to him as John Doe, says, "Do you remember John Doe?" I said, "Oh yeah, sure do." She said, "Well, he stopped by here today to see you." "And what did he want?" I asked. "He didn't want anything." "How did he look?" Because if you would have asked me where John Doe was, and me knowing him like I did, I would have said, "He's in prison or he's dead." She said, "He's a nicely dressed young man, driving a Lexus," I believe it was. "Has his work crew with him. And he is on his way to another job site down in Georgia, and he wanted to stop by and to thank you. Thank me, I said. Now, well, I'll tell you this part of it later. So it floored me, and I said, thank me for what? He said, because he said in a time in his life when he needed direction, you let him stay at your house and you pointed him in the right direction. I said, that's true. He wants you to know and thank you that he made it. I have not talked to all my children yet about this person. But in speaking with one of my daughter said, Daddy, you don't know. I don't know if I were to see him, if I were to hug him, or just slap his face. I told my son about it, and his words were, really? John Doe, huh? Really? Well, I am evangelical. I am evangelistic. I believe that the church needs to be evangelical, or I would encourage the church to be evangelical. I know we have different styles of churches and different types of ministers. But I am one that continually shares and asks people, where are you going to church? Would love to have you as a part of the family here. I was in a meeting, a seminar the other day with Ken Callahan, former professor at Candler School of Theology, and he made this statement that growing churches are winsome churches. Growing churches are churches where people welcome individuals. The largest church I guess I have ever been to was Frazier in Montgomery, Alabama. And I remember being greeted in the parking lot. I remember being greeted in the lobby. I remember being greeted in the Sunday school class. I remember being greeted after church in the sanctuary. It was a winsome church. I was at the clergy orders meeting this week, and I heard another author say, churches need to be welcoming. Churches need to be warm. Churches need to be loving. Churches need to be caring if they're going to grow. You see, the reality is that we could sit right here on this corner in Greenwood, and if we chose, we can die, or we can live. Because the work has been done. All we have to do is harvest. Dr. Callahan said that in this town, that the percentages are that 70% of the people in this town are unchurched. That's the average. Jesus was at this well, and it wasn't because it was in his itinerary, I guess, or in on the map that he needed to go through Samaria. He was out of the way. Not only was he out of the way, but when you stop and think about Nicodemus that we talked about last week and this Samaritan woman, they are diametrically opposed. Nicodemus was a man, he was a woman. Nicodemus was Sanhedrin, this woman was Samaria. Nicodemus comes by night, she comes in the middle of the day. Nicodemus was highly respected. This woman had 5 marriages and now was shacking up. I thought about stories that we tell. When I was at Candler, Jim Fowler used to talk about faith development. And he established within me a hunger. And I, to this day, so love to hear your stories of faith. Tell me your story. I want to hear your story of how your faith has sustained you and enabled you and been your comfort in all the different times and trials of life. I want to know. And as I thought about this woman, as she came to the well, and Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink of water." And I think about those times that we have that just is us responding to the basic human need. Albert Carms, in his novel, The Fall, he talks about that he will not cross a bridge at night or walk across a bridge at night. He says, because if he were to go across a bridge and he realized that someone had fallen in, then he would have to decide whether he wanted to jump into the water and try to save them and put his life at danger or not. And then if he chose not to do that the rest of his life he would be struggling with the decision that he made about not responding to this person who apparently was drowning. When it is said that it wasn't that he was necessarily afraid to respond, bottom line was he didn't want to get involved in anything that required commitment of him. That's the reason he doesn't cross. He doesn't want to place himself in any position that might, where he might be expected to respond. I think about these two individuals that we have last week, Nicodemus, this week, the Samaritan woman. As they come to Jesus. And the people within our community, our town, the ones that are thirsty, and the ones that are hungry for spiritual water, for spiritual food. As Rudy so eloquently placed it this morning, we've been blessed. Look at this place. Gorgeous. If we had to start today to build this, my goodness, where would we start? And yet, here it is. Kairos was here this week, and one of my good friends was here, and I said, "Oh, come, let me take you to the sanctuary." And so as we walked through and we're looking at the building and I brought her in here and she just said, "Oh, it's gorgeous." A place where people for over 150 years have come and worshiped. Let this be the place and let us be the people who tell the story of our faith and also share this living water that we have received. The work's been done. All we have to do is harvest. Amen. Our closing hymn, "Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy," number 340. Receive now the benediction. May God bestow on us his grace, with blessings rich provide us. And may the brightness of his face to eternal life guide us, that we his gracious work may know, and what is his good pleasure, and to the unbelieving show Christ's riches without measure. Amen.